This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Friday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings as we welcome you back, Circa Sportsbook from downtown Las Vegas. I'm Ben Wilson in for Stormy, Mike Palm, VP of Operations here at Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate. He's with us, in for Michael Lombardi here. Hour number two, we're on the DraftKings Network this hour. A lot to get to here, Mike. We'll have Mike Randall, another Mike here on the show, Chief Content Officer at FTN Network, to talk about a loaded college basketball card today. Conference tournaments already underway. We'll also get some NHL thoughts from you on the card tonight. And it's a trade deadline day here in the NHL. One more hour to go to. We've had some more moves even since we've been on the air, going back to hour number one.
As we expect.
Frenzy.
Yeah, and New Jersey going out and in. Toffoli, Tyler Toffoli, a lot of Kings fans very familiar with him, heading to Winnipeg.
From New Jersey.
Surprising in to me that Winnipeg has stayed at the top of the Central with Dallas and Colorado. I thought Hellebuck was going to be locked in there and it would be a long rebuild and they were going to be a borderline playoff team for a while. They've got a very legitimate shot of winning the Central, and been a great defensive team, and we'll add to that with Toffoli. And then they acquire New Jersey, Jake Allen from Montreal. Jake Allen, a veteran back, was the number one goaltender for the Blues 5 or 6 years ago before Jordan Bennington came up and had played in a pretty much a platoon in Montreal with Sam Montembleau until recently. And so I don't think that's a headline move at any point that Jake Allen goes to New Jersey. Does shore up their goaltending a bit, but New Jersey, who was off to such a great start, might find themselves now out of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Two pieces here. Jets, fewest goals allowed in the West. They are 2 points back of the Stars, but have three games in hand on Dallas and the Central. So favorites there to win the Central. Now you bolster your offense with a really good guy in Tyler Toffoli, goal scoring threat as well. Now I heard a lot of hockey bettors we've had on our network past few weeks saying if the Devils were to get a big name goalie, figure out that position at the deadline, they are worth a flyer. They were at one point 14-1 when I heard a lot of those discussions. Now they're 35-1. But as you say, just because they sign a goalie doesn't mean it necessarily means, okay, time to buy in on a Devil team that is in need of consistent netminding.
Well, Jake Allen's not a big-name goaltender.
That's the thing.
And last I looked, I thought he was like a 3-2, 3-3 goals against average this year. I know he's playing on a bottom-rung team, but Jake Allen's career, I think, has been in descent over the last half decade. So I don't view this as a significant move that will help New Jersey get into the playoff.
Centrally part of the Blues Cup run. I mean, when Jordan Binnington replaced him and got red hot, and the Blues went on to win that Stanley Cup in 2019. So those are the latest main moves here at the deadline. The only other one, Pat Maroon, goes to the Boston Bruins, trading the forward from the Minnesota Wild. So Boston, a team that they've slipped a little bit here. They had a big lead early in the Atlantic Division, but still they've now fallen out of first. They're a point back of Florida. You kind of figured they would want to do something with how aggressive Florida and Carolina have been the two teams that have dominated the trade deadline so far.
I'm a big Jim Montgomery guy, head coach for the Bruins. Obviously, they had the record-setting regular season last year and then lost in seven games in the first round to the Panthers. Ullmark was hurt, didn't tell anybody, is what comes out after that. Jim Montgomery just won his 100th game in his second season in Boston or whatever. What is his record? It's like 101 and 28 and whatever, how many overtime. It's just an incredible record. Boston will be a tough out again. They lost a lot through retirement. I thought that they would not compete. I actually thought this was going to be Toronto's year to win that division. They're a veteran crew and very, very tough at home always. So, they'll create some problems. It'll be interesting how the seeding ends up there. You want to probably try to avoid Toronto in the first round, but we'll see. That's the benefit of getting the one seed in the Atlantic.
And if it ended right now, it would be Toronto on the road at Boston in a best of seven. I would be fascinated to see what the line would be since Toronto has been on the up and up and Boston's just kind of been stable, kind of in neutral here.
I think Boston would be about $1.60 favorite.
Yeah. Make a lot of sense. I'm sure there'd be a lot of action and interest on the dog as well.
You know, Toronto has talked about goaltending. Now they had Joseph Woll last night against against the Bruins. But Samsonov has not been terrific either, if you look into his advanced numbers. So
one of the worst goals saved above expected goalies in all of hockey, and that was even with an 8-game winning streak with the winning streak.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So Atlantic Division will be some tough series here.
We'll mention any other trades that come down the pipe, see if they are movers or stuff we can just ignore with our hockey guy, Mike Palm. Also break down the card for tonight here on a Friday as we continue. Some other headlines, though, as we talk NFL and free agency is set to get underway next week. It's March 11th here, as we'll start right on Monday when teams can start negotiating. And then it is Wednesday when it officially opens. That's when we expect just a barrage of moves to come down the pipe. We'll have you covered for that all next week, especially here on the Lombardi Line, where we do focus heavily on the NFL. I thought it was interesting, though, this whole discussion about Joe Flacco, and it's so rare you get a guy who's a comeback player of the year, signed off his couch, and the team who he comes back to now has a guy they have paid a ton of money to in Deshaun Watson, who is presumably back healthy from injury. And now the decision is, okay, can Flacco go somewhere else, be a starter? Would he go back to Cleveland, be a backup? So, you know, the latest news essentially on that, it feels like, and the quote from Flacco, he's just kind of seeing what opportunities may be out there. It doesn't seem like the market is all that high for him. He would prefer to join a team as a starter, but sounds like if he's going to be a backup, he would actually prefer to go back to Cleveland, which would be a very odd dynamic with Watson's leash certainly feeling pretty short with how his first two seasons have gone.
And where does DTR fall into this whole mix? Isn't he the quarterback in waiting there?
That was the thought.
Well, and the way they played him, I mean, and put him in last year, over PJ was very interesting. So I think he's the quarterback in waiting. But Flacco is an interesting spot because the term you used is very apt, very short leash. I mean, my argument against Stefanski for coach of the year, and he wins the tiebreaker, right? And good for Femi because he had all the tickets on him, was that who thought that Watson was going to be good, right? Oh, he had five quarterbacks. Well, we knew he had a great defense and he was going to struggle at the quarterback position, and that happened, but I don't know how much that coaching was, and they had a 9.5 win total. So as much as I was high on them in future markets, I thought obviously that the expectations in Houston were much lower, and for them to have won the division was worthy of it for D'Amico Ryans. But anyhow, to go back to Flacco, if he did go back to Cleveland, I don't think he's that far removed, but the problem is, where does that put DTR? And I think that they have DTR there if Watson isn't able to overcome injuries and aging, right? I mean, he's not been good. You could find, what, two games where he had outstanding, he had very good game at Baltimore, and then I think the game against Tennessee. Other than that, he was average at best. Yeah. So it's a tough fit, I think, to go back to Cleveland.
And the thing, too, for Flacco, you could maybe make the case, well, at this stage in his career, being that old, maybe your body is not really up to handle the rigors of like a 17-game schedule. So maybe it's almost a good thing. You just sit, bide your time, stay in shape. You know Watson has all the pressure, short leash. You don't know what the plans are in front of you. You mentioned the Dorian Thompson-Robinson piece of this, but not the worst thing in the world to be asked to be pressed into service, say, in late October, early November, and your arm's fresh. And we kind of saw that out of Flacco last year. But I also go back to just the Cleveland, you know, the whole spot of their franchise and where they're at with a top five defense. You pay all this money to what you view to be a franchise guy, hasn't delivered so far in Deshaun Watson. Expectations now, they were 9.5 last year. Stefanski wins coach of the year. Expectations are not going to be any higher than they are right now. You have to get it right at the quarterback position this year. You have to be competing in the AFC playoffs, not bowing out to a rookie quarterback and getting blown out on the road. So with all that as the context, that's what makes it hard for me to believe that, oh, Cleveland's going to be content to, it was a great story last year, but can Flacco really be a guy, like, with where your franchise is at and the expectations, can you really just say, oh, we're going to be content turning to him and just expecting to roll it back another year?
Also in a division that has Baltimore, who was the one seed in the AFC, and Cincinnati with Burrow back, who I think is a very interesting choice. I'm looking at Cincinnati futures right now. I think this is going to be a big bounce back year. I thought the best single win of the whole NFL season was when they went to San Francisco and dominated. It wasn't a Brock Purdy implosion, four interceptions. They just went out there and beat San Francisco. on both sides of the ball. So that's a very tough division, and you're right. No status quo isn't going to do anything for them.
It's also a situation where, yeah, you might have really high expectations internally, but the odds say, to your point, a different story. Browns are plus 550 to win the division. I mean, even to make the playoffs, Browns coming into the year, those odds are not fully out yet at DraftKings, but they're, based on the conference odds, going to be dogs. They're 10th right now on the AFC futures board, 22-1.
Yeah, and they should be. That was a very tough division last year, and it's only going to get better, and we'll see what Pittsburgh does to turn to a quarterback. But I would bet the no, and I don't know. I mean, I'm saying this not knowing the price. Right. Obviously, it's not going to be a pick 'em, but I would lay the price that Flacco is not back in Cleveland.
That also. I wish we had next
is team. That up?
Joe Flacco.
You got every other quarterback. You got the top 20 team choices.
We do have a lot of quarterbacks with a lot of options. That's just the nature of betting NFL right now. I also will wonder just on the this, and now this is not a Flacco thing, but Cleveland specifically, what defense do we see in 2024? Do we see the team on pace to be one of the all-time greats, or do we see a team that down the stretch on the road was exposed time and time again?
They didn't travel. They gave up over 30 points a game. That was one of my biggest over bets I ever made, was that wild card game, because that defense was giving up so many points. I'm gonna, and it wasn't as if the weather was a huge factor in Cleveland, like it, you know, usually factors to two or three games a year. So there's something there in the dichotomy between the road and home splits. But obviously they have a great base and they have talent at all three levels of the defense.
They do. Not a team you write off, just a lot of questions to answer here. And we'll start to get some of those questions answered next week as free agency gets underway, that $30 million cap spike. A lot of teams and a lot of money to burn. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out now that we're out of the NFL Combine. When we come back, we'll transition into some college basketball conference tournaments underway. Mike Randall from the FTN Network will join us to give us some best bets next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN experts and their World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for those new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for more data-driven bettors to make this your best season yet. Bet the MLB smarter this year. Download the free MLB betting primer now at vsin.com/guide. That is vsin.com/guide. Back with Mike Plum, who will be on two different major league broadcasts this year.
Well, we're hoping. We'll see what happens.
We're hoping. I thought that was a done deal.
Well, it is, but people don't necessarily have to fulfill contracts. Who knows? No one's promised tomorrow, Ben.
No one's promised.
The only thing you're promised is the night's pregame show.
Even that. Anyway, you call in when you're calling it when you're asked to be pressed into duty. You do your best. Back with Mike. I'm Ben. We go out right now to the Progressive guest line to talk some college basketball. Joining us now is Mike Randall, Chief Content Officer at FTN Network. Follow him at Randall Ran, a very busy man right now because conference tournaments game started at 9 a.m. Pacific time already this morning. So we're fast and furious underway here, Mike. Just a general kind of comment here on some of these mid-major teams before we get into specific games for today, where the landscape really has trended toward more and more dangerous mid-majors than ever, being able to pull off upsets and make deep runs. We saw that after the Florida Atlantic run last year, and that has continued now with a number of teams this year. Who are some of those teams you're looking at right now that might be going under the radar that better should really be paying attention to here as we get ready for Selection Sunday a week from this Sunday?
Yeah, the first one played today, High Point out of the Big South. They have, usually when these teams meet in the first round of the tournament, the mid-major teams don't have size. That's why it was always tough to see North Carolina with Tyler Hansborough and players like that and Zeller inside get upset. But this team, High Point, is a problem. They have guards they can score, and they have the 7'1" freshman, Jocelyn Bodo inside, who I think had 17 or 18 rebounds today. So High Point, number one, they got off to a sluggish start, but the tournament is at home, and they got rolling and covered. And the second one would be McNeese State out of the Southland. Let's not forget that McNeese State is coached by Will Wade, had the show cause situation, was out of LSU, but he's a fantastic coach, especially X's and O's. Brought in a ton of transfers here to McNeese State. This is a team that went on the road and beat VCU. They've competed well and had some big wins on the road non-conference, and they've dominated inside the Southland. This team is dangerous. No one's going to be talking about them, but no high major program wants to play Will Wade's McNeese State Cowboys, who are loaded and have oodles of talent because of what you mentioned, the transfer portal veteran players coming in.
Mike, let's talk a little bit about Arch Madness. We were talking about the opening game with Indiana State, not covering the first half. Let's take a look at the 2-seed Drake, who will play at 6 o'clock Central Time tonight in the 2-7 matchup against Evansville, laying 13.5. When they played at the Knapp Center in January, Drake was a 17.5 point favorite and won the game by almost 50. But on the return trip to Southern Indiana, they didn't cover the 7.5, winning 78-75 on February 13th. Your thoughts on this game tonight?
I'm taking Evansville. I've loved Drake. And guys, we can always raise a glass to a few years ago when Drake started the year 16-0 and 16-0 against the spread. Those are special memories. But this Bulldog team is not at the same level of offensive efficiency as those teams in the past. Now, this is not for the faint of heart taking Evansville plus 14. But the issue is they have lost 7 games in a row to end the regular season. But one of those games was that 3-point loss at home to Drake that they actually led in the second half. They won their game last night against Illinois State. And you notice the teams usually who have played the night before get off to a strong start. Plus, you mentioned it's playing in St. Louis, which is under city. This tournament in St. Louis tends to trend to the unders. Lower scoring game, points at a premium. Familiarity between Evansville and Drake. Drake maybe being a little overvalued by the market. I'll take Evansville on the points.
Mike Randall joining us right now on the Lombardi line as we continue breaking down some individual conference tournament games today. Let's go to the OVC, Mike. A couple of new teams into that league. You have Arkansas Little Rock. You had some success going back 5-6 years in the NCAA tournament, but they've really had to turn their program around, joining a new conference. They take on Western Illinois, and it's Little Rock here, who is laying a short number. These are neutral site games played in Evansville, Indiana, and I'm seeing a pretty good line movement here. Little Rock opens 4.5. They're up to 6-point favorites now in the first of two games there in the OVC semis tonight.
Yeah, I like Little Rock. I think they're head and shoulders better than Western Illinois. The only thing Western Illinois does really well, they've had a coaching change, of course, coming into this year, is the offensive rebounding. They're relentless. But that's not going to work against Little Rock, who can match them on the offensive boards. They make their free throws. They can make it from inside the arc. Aggressive team, can force turnovers. Yes, Western Illinois played. Little Rock is significantly better than Western Illinois. I think they move on in this game and easily cover. Got it, like you said, at 4.5. Got some CLV lines moving in the better direction for us. Now up to 6, 6.5. I don't think Little Rock's getting tripped up because I don't trust Western Illinois on either side of the ball except for their offensive rebounding.
Mike, regular season game in the Mountain West, and I'm really looking forward to the tournament at Thomas and Mack. It's always good, but this year, this it's really deep, probably 7 very good teams. Boise State's at Viejas tonight against San Diego State. San Diego State laying 8 with a total of 135.5.
Yeah, two issues in this game, two picks I like. First, our FTM models here have been scalding hot this year. We got over a 10% edge on Boise State plus 8 points in this matchup. Now, San Diego State has been fantastic at home. They have dominated, but Boise State is the type of defense, grind, defensive rebounding team. Leon Rice, fantastic coach, that can keep this game close. And on the other side, we're going to go over in this matchup with the total. Our largest edge that we have of the night, 11% edge, over 135.5. San Diego State has shot very well at home. They can score. So I think both teams are actually going to be able to score. You look at this game, you say it's a defensive struggle between Boise and San Diego State, but Boise State has played very well. They own going to the Pit in New Mexico. They always play well there. They're fine on the road. San Diego State struggles on offense, but not at home. We think it's a higher scoring game. We like Boise and the over in this matchup. Our model over a 10% edge on both plays here, two of our top plays at FTN for the night.
Sort of one of those things where it's like, when in doubt, just take a dog in Mountain West games this year. It's been that kind of league. So many really good teams battling it out back and forth. Boise catching 8 tonight against San Diego State. They'll play in Vegas next week at the Thomas and Mack, a conference tournament Mike going on right now in Vegas over at the venerable Orleans Arena, WCC, where we had the performance of conference play so far. I mean, Pacific last night down 56-9 at halftime against
Pepperdine. You know, it was 39-2 at one point.
Unbelievable. In an 8-9 game. Anyway, you are looking at a game tonight of the WCC. Loyola Marymount takes on Shante Leggins, Portland Pilots here. The LMU Lions, a 6.5-point favorite here. 142.5 is the total. What's the angle here as we take a look at the WCC?
Yeah, I like Portland. Portland's won their last two games. Obviously, you know, with the Pirates, they're going to end up trying to shoot three-pointers and score. Also, don't like Loyola Marymount. There's a chasm of a difference when Loyola Marymount is playing at home versus when they're playing at a neutral site and on the road. Stan Johnson's team's been very inconsistent this year. At home, they have games of 14, 15, 16 made threes. At a neutral site or on the road, they struggle a little bit. Portland beat this team at home 70-60 by 10 points. I don't know why Loyola Marymount is favored by this many points in a neutral site game. I will take the Pilots and the points in a game. I think a money line play is also reasonable.
Mike, I took two flyers for NCAA champion this year back earlier in the year. St. Mary's at 175-1 and Clemson at 100-1. And I see on the sheet here you've got Clemson today as one of your final four teams. Break it down. Tennessee, Iowa State, Utah, UConn, and Clemson.
Number one, my pick to win the national championship is Tennessee. I think this is their year. Guys, you know Tennessee has made the tournament 5 years in a row, and last year they're the Sweet 16. I'm at Madison Square Garden. They got a 13-point lead over Florida Atlantic. They don't give that up. They could easily be in the Final Four and maybe win the national title. And what's the thing that Tennessee's always missing out on? A late-game score. They haven't had one since Chris Lofton over a decade ago. Now they have Dalton Connect, which is exactly what they need. You know they play defense. I don't want to hear about Rick Barnes not being able to win the big one. The guys had sustained success at Tennessee, usually does well against Kentucky, and oh, by the way, went to a Final Four in New Orleans with TJ Ford in Texas. The other teams are Iowa State. TJ Osselberger's defense is like Virginia, but they can score on offense. They're absolutely fantastic. UConn is the best team I've seen all year. Best chance to repeat since Florida back in the early 2000s. And my final team is Clemson. Guys, you know there's going to be a team that makes a run. How many times did we see Syracuse with the ghost of Malachi Richardson make a run and get to the Final Four when they beat Virginia? This Clemson team is a veteran team. They have a big inside in PJ Hall. Joe Girard came over from Syracuse. Shiflin's the glue guy. This team is flying under the radar. Clemson doesn't bring a lot of sex appeal, but they have every part that you need to make a run here. I like Clemson. You know it's not going to be four top seeds. Give me the Tigers to join them in the Final Four.
A little 25-1 piece as of right now on Clemson to make the Final Four, at least over at DraftKings. Mike Randall, great content covering a whole lot of conference tournaments, talking some futures as well. Follow him at Randall Rant, Chief Content Officer at FTN Network. Mike, great as always to see you. Thanks so much for giving us some time.
Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Going to be hard to top that Pacific performance last night.
They take a look at that betting market.
Seriously. Talk about what's happening. 56-9. You lose by 50 in an 8-9 conference tournament game. Crazy stuff. When we come back, we'll get to some more NHL deadline moves and get Mike Palm's action on tonight's card.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before the NCAA tournament tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year, including our daily best bets of the leaderboard. See which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember to use promo code Lombardi. Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. We're into the second half now. Arch Madness underway. The CAA tournament underway in D.C. A lot of action. Big South underway. High Point, our first winner of the day. So a lot to keep track of, Mike. As we are also keeping track of, trade deadline day in the NHL. You are keeping your fingers crossed that Calgary keeps their netminder and that your ticket on your long shot triple digit ticket has some life. We're a half hour out here for the trade deadline coming and going, and yet no news there from Calgary. I did just see Eric Johnson go to from Buffalo to Philadelphia in exchange for the fourth round pick. That's what Buffalo is getting. You mentioned Philadelphia earlier in the show, waiting for the bubble to burst. They're in a playoff position. Not expected whatsoever. They get a defensive piece in Johnson. Any needle mover for you there?
I don't know if it's a needle mover. It gives them a little depth. Tortorella's done a great job there. And I continue to watch this team. They've been very interesting. Carter Hart obviously has been out for an extended period of time, but Urson's been great in goal. So we'll see what they can do in the playoffs here, just trying to get a little bit more depth for a long series.
A team that's been about even on the goal difference this year, yet they've still found a way to win games.
And well, they've been blown out a couple
that,
times.
That would help or hamper your goal difference as a result. Really, the biggest moves of the day, it was the Jake Guentzel trade, leaves Pittsburgh. That was the big domino to fall. Where would he go? Expected to leave Pittsburgh, and he goes to Carolina, who also get Evgeny Kuznetsov, Carolina from Washington. So those two pieces, Mike, really bolstering Carolina's chances, while Florida got Vladimir Tarasenko yesterday ahead of the start of this deadline. A big frenzy, and it really feels like the Eastern Conference. That's been the conference where we've had the most flurry of trades made so far.
I think Tarasenko is maybe more significant than the two moves by Carolina, and that he adds another score there. With Florida, who've really been a much better defensive team this year, but he gives some support to scoring. We all know what he did when he was a member of the Blues, and he's sort of been lost in the desert there in Ottawa, a forgotten figure. So I watched a couple of Ottawa games and was watching him thinking, where is he going to land? Because he's not going to be staying with this team. So if anything of a market move, I would say Florida, but as the favorite, I'm not going to delve in on them. I would rather bet them in individual series.
We're talking right now, two of your three favorites are Florida and Carolina to win the cup. Florida 6-1, Edmonton, Carolina each 8-1, with the Avs 850, Boston 9-1 as of right now. I heard that Tarasenko, you said he waived, the only team he would waive is no trade clause on, Florida Panthers. Something about playing in South Florida.
Sunrise,
yes, and a team that went to the cup final a year ago. As for the card tonight, it's always sort of a fascinating handicap when you talk deadline. You've got guys on the move. How will they aren't going to be with their new teams yet, but how will this all play out for tonight? There's a big dog that you're thinking might bark tonight. Out west here, Anaheim hosting Dallas as an over plus 250 underdog.
Yeah, we're taking the Ducks tonight, Ben. Uh-oh. Plus 270. This is an anti-Dallas play. Dallas has come off back-to-back games with San Jose where they've played as bad as you could play and come away with 4 points. They were down 6-3 to San Jose Wednesday night, I believe, with about 7 minutes to go. They win the game in overtime.
Scored 7-6.
Scored 3 goals in 2 minutes to tie the game. They trailed in Dallas against San Jose, against the guy making his first starting goal. He had come in relief in the game that San Jose lost 10-2 to Pittsburgh earlier in the year at home. Trailed 1-0, trailed 2-1, win 3-2 in overtime against San Jose and Dale. They're playing terrible, terrible hockey. Gibson back in goal after having Dostal for a couple games with Anaheim. I just think this price is way out of line. The Stars have been sleepwalking. Robertson has not been playing well. It's. I don't want to take a puck and a half and drop it all the way to even money, but I could see this game possibly being an overtime game. Might even take a little bit of a shot at will the game go to overtime as a way to back up the plus 250 instead of taking a goal and a half.
Ducks, that classic team. There are a number of teams around the league where you look at the numbers, they're not impressive whatsoever. There's a reason why they're a big dog, yet they play much better at home. Very feisty team, and they're playing better as of late. You know, 5 wins in their last 10, and coming off back-to-back, they've won 2 of their last 3 at home, beat the Devils at home, beat the Senators at home in their last time out, so not a team that's just lifeless.
And they played Sunday night, played a very good game against Vancouver at home, so they've been
lost
doing well
2-1
here.
Lost game there, yeah. Play number one, wow, Anaheim, let's go. Plus, you can find, plus 270, as Mike was talking about there, in the market on the Anaheim Ducks. You know, two games that, based on the odds, are really fascinating for tonight. Winnipeg, they make a deadline deal. They get Tyler Toffoli, who comes over in a trade from New Jersey, as Toffoli will bolster the Winnipeg Jets right now. Winnipeg, as it stands here, sitting a second right now in the Central, right behind the Dallas Stars, and Winnipeg has 3 games in hand. So you'd figure favorites here to finish first in that Central division. They, though, might go on the road tonight, take on Seattle. Winnipeg short favorites here about minus 130. It is an interesting spot here as the Kraken are very much alive. If they can make a run.
They're sitting there right there with Calgary on that line, right? And the Blues.
Calgary and the Blues. Mm-hmm. 6 points back of Vegas for what would be the final wildcard spot right now. We've seen the Kraken get hot before. So could this be the start of something here? And it's as a result, you naturally gravitate toward a home dog in a spot like that. Is it enough for you, though, to pull the trigger?
You know, if this was six, I'd think about the total, but it's a rare five and a half. Maybe you look at a first period under. I think you can find it at 110, a couple spots, 115 here at DraftKings. Should be a good goaltending matchup. As you said, Winnipeg allows the least goals in the Western Conference. Seattle's still very much alive. Grubauer's played well for them in relief of Joey Decord, who's been a surprise this year. And Seattle's one of those teams that I watch a lot of their games because I like the announcing team. It makes a big difference to me in hockey. I watch a lot of their games. I watch San Jose. Just because
legendary.
Because the game is called very well, right? So it does, you know, and I'm a hockey fan. I like the Detroit guys as well. So I'd look under first period here, 110, not an official play yet, though. Speaking of Detroit, I think this is a very interesting story. So you know how we have our patch, Circa Sports, and we got the deal done with the Knights. It's very hard to get a patch. They're very expensive. Mm-hmm. Teams want long-term deals. We were trying with Detroit, but we haven't been able to land a Michigan skin, obviously, so we couldn't get that deal done. They did find a company, a waste management company called Priority Waste, and they made the deal with them, and they put their patch a couple weeks ago onto their jersey. They're 0-4 since the patch.
Oh no.
They've gone from 6 points above the wild card cutoff line to only 2 points above. And Derek's home in Detroit for some business. He said the sports talk radio, these people are going nuts how the patch ruined their season. They're calling the patch the garbage patch, the wasted season patch,
Trade
Iserman patch. It's pretty funny. Anyhow, they're playing tonight.
They're on the road at Arizona.
They're in Phoenix, and then they come here tomorrow. Because I know a lot of our guys, of course, with the Detroit connections, are going tomorrow night to T-Mobile. So is it a look-ahead spot for them? Coyotes played pretty well against men. That game was 1-0, I think, after two periods last night. And the next thing I looked up, it was 5-2 against Fleury and the Wild. So interesting here, though. Might be a spot for the Coyotes here at plus 120. I think they'll have Ingram in net tonight because it was
I believe, the other night they went to Vimelka.
Vimelka played last night. Yeah, he started last night. So it should be Ingram, who I think is a big upgrade. I did have one other official play today. It's a future bet, and it's the Iowa women to make the Final Four, plus 125. I think their win over Ohio State to close out the season, where they got ranked six, now up to third. If they win the Big Ten tournament, they're going to get a one seed, maybe the second one seed, if not the third, and they'll avoid South Carolina perhaps until a final. But Maryland is killing Ohio State in the Big Ten quarterfinal in Minneapolis. By the way, couldn't buy a ticket. That's been sold out for a month, the Big Ten women's tournament. Talk about Caitlin Clark. Iowa will have to get through on their side of the bracket. Indiana, who they did lose to in Bloomington, and then potentially not have to face Ohio State on the other side with them getting pummeled today. I think this team, and I think the sport, the TV, everything will get this Iowa team over the line to get into another Final Four. So it's plus 125, the Iowa women make. They're about 7-1 to win it all.
Really,
South Carolina is really tough.
They are. South Carolina is awesome. It's kind of like five teams in a somewhat of a drop-off. Stanford's still really, really good. They are fifth on the odds board right now, and so it kind of comes down to with the way they do it regionally, how is that going to come out? Because let's say Stanford's on the two line, right? Like, which team is going to draw them in their region?
What's interesting right now is 8-9 is LSU and UConn. Are they going to get matched up in the South Carolina regional?
I mean, right? Yeah. LSU, UConn have better odds than Stanford right now, but certainly, as far as the national interest, never been higher in women's college basketball. The betting opportunities, too, abound as well. When we come back, we'll talk about, would Palm have a qualm? I love this segment. We'll talk about it after this.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Big thanks to our guest today, Mike Randall from FTN Network, talking college basketball. Also, Nick Whalen from RotoWire and SiriusXM NBA for all the NBA discussion. And Mike, thank you for your instant rapid reaction breakdown to all the trades in the NHL. Maybe we get one or two more deals. We've got 15 minutes.
I hope no Markstrom. That's all.
No Markstrom.
14 minutes to sweat.
I can feel the tenuous energy here in the studio. Yeah. Mike Pallman is triple
blow,
digit.
Blow that $100 ticket.
Exactly. One piece of MLB news. There's been a couple injuries now in Cardinals spring training. Lars Nootbaar now, one of the starting outfielders, out a couple weeks with a rib issue going on there. And already they've got the projected opening day starter, Sonny Gray, doubtful for opening day with a hamstring injury. You had made a bet prior to this in the NL Central win total. Do you like the Cubs this year? You have Cubs. To like the latest news coming out of Jupiter there, and a lot of injuries piling up for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, Cubs over 84 I played. It's kind of gone back and forth between 84 and 84 and a half. What I've seen in the market. I'm going to try to figure out a way to be anti-Dodgers too. I don't know if that's bet Diamondbacks over or bet Atlanta to win the National League or win the World Series. I still have questions about the Dodgers. They got a lot of outfielders, and I'm not sure about the starting pitching. I think you're relying too much on Kershaw to do something still, and Buehler coming back healthy. So I'm trying to take an anti-Dodgers. The obviously NL Central injury news is on any team other than the Cubs is good for my bet.
And
Sonny Gray, I mean, Sonny Gray, the question is how many innings are you going to get out of him, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, he's become like a Kenta Maeda five and dive guy over the last few years. So that will be interesting as well.
The Cardinals also 84 and a half on the win total, which is why that has even more added importance going on right there. There's also the option of the any team to have the most regular season wins. 106 and a half is that number. I realize that brings in the other clubs into play, but that's also an option if you're looking to short the Dodgers, since they are odds-wise most likely team to do that this year.
Yeah, I like this bet. I saw this bet, first team to 10 wins. Obviously, they're a huge favorite because they're playing the two games in addition earlier against the Padres, right? So it's funny. And the Padres are the second choice, right? If they split that, there's still a game up on the rest of the field beside the Dodgers. So That's kind of a fun market. People got to pay attention to it.
Last year, Rays, huge long shots.
People bet this most wins in a month. I know Mitch is the one turned me onto that last year, doing this most wins in a month bet. Are pretty interesting.
Look at the
50
schedules,
to one shots hitting.
Mm-hmm. If you get a team that lines up perfectly like the Rays did last year, there you go. Well, that leads us right into this segment called Would Palm Have a Qualm? We are going to throw out some potential futures for you, Mike. Would you make these bets, or would you get sick just thinking about it? That's how we phrase this for you. So we got our MLB. Well, that was sort of our pseudo palm. Would Palm have a qualm? MLB out of the way. We've been talking NCAA tournament. You've made some long shots already. Let me throw a couple at you here. Florida Atlantic to make a repeat run to the Final Four. They're in that 25-1 bucket of teams right now. Duke to win it all, 22-1. What are your thoughts on those two teams?
Big qualms. Big qualms with both. Yeah. I've watched this Florida Atlantic team. They don't resemble much of what we saw in the tournament last year. They've struggled in conference play. I've bet them a couple times. They blow big leads. They're not as fluid on offense as they have been. I don't think they're making any run to the Final Four. And then I will be anti-Carolina and Duke in the tournament, which goes against my Clemson ticket. I just don't think the ACC was deep enough that tested these teams. I mean, Virginia's your third best team. Are you kidding me? I mean, I guess in the net rankings, Clemson is. I think they're still top 30 net rankings, but I don't know. And I think Tennessee controls their own path to the final number one seed. Yeah. But then I think Duke and Carolina also do. Whoever wins this game Saturday at Cameron, if they win the ACC tournament and Tennessee falls somewhere in the SEC tournament, I think there's a legitimate claim there. I think Arizona has to hope neither of those things happen and they would inherit it. But I talk about weak conferences. The Pac-12 and Washington State loses at home to Washington last night. That's really bizarre. What? UCLA looked terrible. I watched about 10 minutes of that game against Arizona.
Home against Arizona. Yeah.
They're going to finish with an under 500 record this year.
Go figure. Crazy. Well, the UNC, they really have the path because of the resume and played enough quality non-con opponents where UNC, if they beat Duke again, sweep that regular season series, go on to win the ACC tournament. Now, UNC was a longer shot to get a one seed, and there you can see how they're the sixth betting favorite right now, 20-1 overall. As far as Duke, they're a team where the numbers look really good, but you combine like eye test when you watch them, and you know going in that they're playing in a weaker conference. Mm-hmm. they don't really do much to satisfy you, right? Aesthetically. I mean, they have Filipowski in the middle, really nice player, but you're left wondering, okay, is this really a team that if you need a big shot in crunch time, I know they have a decent amount of experience on that roster. Do you really trust them? I keep coming back to that word and trust with these big teams that you're going to have to pay a premium on to bet in the futures market. I just don't get there with Duke.
Do you think Carolina can play consistently for six games, though? I don't.
Defensively, they're the team we thought we were getting last year when they were preseason number one and totally fell flat in their face. And because of the way, outside of the top couple of teams, it's hard to really hard to get there with consistency. Not many teams have that. So that's why I'd say no in general, but it also is a reflection of where we're at in college basketball as a home this year. So qualms for you, Mike, on FAU Final Four. I'm with you. FAU might be they've always been one of the worst ATS teams in the country this year. There were 12 straight games they didn't cover earlier in the season. That might be a fade in round one. Duke not going to tie up money either with that. Let's get an NFL one in here before we go off the air. Only three teams right now have win totals up. The two Super Bowl teams, I really have no idea why. We have the Niners, the Chiefs, and then for some odd reason, the Panthers have a win total at DraftKings. 4.5, I'm sure. 49ers, 11.5. That's big juice to the under. You take over 11.5, plus 125. Are you making these bets, or would you have a qualm here?
I don't have a qualm with this bet. At that price, plus 125?
Yeah.
Is the division going to be a lot better this year? Do you think Seattle's going to be better? Maybe the Rams, right? But the Rams were a playoff team, and they still had to compete with the Rams. I think that, when you're looking at future markets, I think you have an easier time focusing on the NFC than the AFC this year. I think there's a little bit more volatility in the AFC. I think San Francisco should be the favorite to go back to the Super Bowl. There's, many arguments you could make. They should have won the Super Bowl. I thought they dominated the first quarter and they ended 0-0. The muff punt, that went off the up end and then the muff changed the game. There were many different opportunities there. So I don't mind that bet at all.
Yeah, it's a team that doesn't really have any, any weaknesses.
Stopping the run was a problem in the playoffs, right? The Packers ran all over them and the Lions ran all over them. They've got to shore up the defensive run game. But I think this is a very solid team. Purdy's got a lot of weapons. Even you take one or two where they're still loaded. McCaffrey's so good. I think winning 12, 13, 14 games is very doable.
Thing to watch on the Niners, what do they do with the Talanoa Hufanga injury, which was late last year, torn ACL, one of the best safeties in the game. Will he come back for opening day? Seems unlikely based on the general timeline. And where does San Francisco look to attack that? We just saw a couple big name, high profile guys released due to cap concerns. Broncos released Justin Simmons. Bills, Jordan Poyer, not going to be with their teams going forward. Those are those are veteran, respected guys who could immediately make an impact into that locker room. That's where I'm kind of curious how the Niners approach that. Could they go draft? Do they want to sign somebody? There's a lot of different options.
There is. But obviously it's something they're going to have to address immediately.
No question. All right, one more. A qualm or not on this. Jared Goff, 40-1.
I think that's too low. I have a qualm there.
Yeah.
Because what's the storyline with it? I mean, it's going to be if they have a solid running game, and then you're going to talk about their offensive line, and he's going to complete a lot of play-action passes to the middle of the field. And, I mean, I know he had a little bit of talk, right? There was a little talk this year, and then they went into Baltimore and got absolutely destroyed, and that was the end of the talk. I think that's too short of a number. I would need probably double that to look at Goff, at least 75-1.
Lions definitely would have had the feel of the perfect everybody behind him regression candidate, but I have to say with Ben Johnson coming back, which I was very surprised at.
And I think I think Campbell's got the right mindset. It's very hard to get where they got, and they got a lot of work to do. I mean, you were in total control of an NFC Championship game, up 17 in the second half.
Campbell came out postgame, basically said just that. Nothing is guaranteed. Yep. We had as good of an opportunity.
And the division will be better, right? The division will be. The Packers are on the rise. Love's a legitimate MVP candidate. Depending on if they can sign Cousins in Minnesota, and then the Bears, who had the best run defense and have number one pick.
Over under 189.5 times, we debate the value of NFC North division champion here at VEASAN over the next 4 months.
Way over.
Yeah, you're probably right. Probably get that cash in the month of June alone, I would imagine. For Mike Paul, and for the rest of our outstanding crew. Thanks to everybody here behind the scenes at our Circus Sportsbook studio. I'm Ben Wilson saying so long here on VSiN. We have a great show coming up with Sharp Money up next. And on the DraftKings Network, stay tuned as well. This has been the Lombardi Line from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.